You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour this Wednesday. We'll check in with Jason Sudeikis, the actor-comedian, former Saturday Night Live cast member Joe Theismann, former Redskins MVP, will join us as well. I saw this tweet by Shams on The Athletic. Multiple tips have been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline. They report protocol violations on campus, sources tell. Kind of a narc line there. And I don't know what happens to you if you get in trouble there. Obviously, you get you have to go into quarantine. But the narc line there, I guess they have multiple tips in there with guys violating this. And then you have this interview, Spencer Dinwiddie, who I believe is already tested positive. He was giving advice for NBA players in the bubble. And he was with Taylor Rooks on Bleacher Report and had the following advice.
Any words for anybody in the bubble?
Yeah, to all my fellow NBA players, don't call the snitch hotline. Don't cross the line to get Postmates. Don't fly L.A. work out. And last but not least, the Brooklyn Nets are coming for you. That's the way it works.
L.A. work, that is code for L.A. women. I did not know that. Marvin told me that. Because I don't know how Marvin knew it.
Huh.
Marvin might have to explain that to his wife. Sorry, Marv. Yeah. Marvin came out and he goes, you know what L.A. work is? And I go, no. He goes, that's code for L.A. women. So, this program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life is a race, visit your local dealership. Test drive today. If you missed any of our interviews from Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. You can watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, Mercedes-AMG driving performance. Some of the headlines, Chris Jones of the Chiefs got paid. Myles Garrett of the Browns got paid. You know, when you look back on Myles Garrett, when he had the incident with Mason Rudolph, and now he's on the verge of a five-year, $125 million deal. And becoming one of the faces of the Cleveland Browns, able to overcome that incident. And we haven't gotten the full story, and maybe we never will, but Myles Garrett is going to get paid. James Harden has reported to Orlando, and I believe in quarantine now. NFL camps, Major League Baseball starting, NBA starting, all of this in 2 weeks. In less than 2 weeks, we're going to have a lot of baseball, basketball to be talking about, football. At least we hope. Optimistic. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Jesse in Los Angeles joins us. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me?
Hey, Dan, that's a great show today.
Thank you, Jesse.
L.A. work. I always learn something new with you guys, so thanks for that. But I wanted to ask you guys if you know what Ethan the Stat Guy's knowledge is as it pertains to sharks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Jess, that's so inside the belt, but really, really good.
Great
Thank you,
call.
Jess. Thank
Great
you.
Call.
Because McLovin, his brand is you're the shark guy.
Well, yeah. So you might not have noticed when Ethan started sending all these really smart emails, I started transitioning towards sharks as a way to keep my value and something. My brand is evolving because of Ethan.
Well, Ethan is our stats guy.
Yeah, I kind of used to be the guy who was pretty good with stats, had time to Google him during the show.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden he's infringed on McLovin's territory, and McLovin is now moving on to being our shark expert a little bit more detail here, I think. Yes, Paul.
I heard he took a sabbatical from Harvard to be a marine biologist for a year, but I haven't confirmed that.
Yeah. Ethan is he's a star. And people say he looks like Clive Owen, too.
Get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. But has he ever seen a great white?
I don't know.
Do you know, I did last year, Seton. It's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah. Once again, you are so brave, McLovin.
I think we're underplaying that story.
Yeah, that's what McLovin said. I said, how are we underplaying? You weren't in the water with a great white shark. You saw it.
I saw a great white in the ocean, 100 yards away.
But you were on the beach.
You're still underplaying it.
I think we're underplaying this story. The fact that I've seen a great way.
And the Dak Prescott situation is the same. It looks like he's going to be, you know, have that franchise tag and that's it. And $31.4 million and doesn't look like the Cowboys are going to be budging off. They want 5 years. Dak wants 4 years. Joe Theismann will have some comments on that, as well as the Washington Redskins changing their nickname. Jason Sudeikis, we caught up with Jason a couple of days ago, and he's got a new show. It's called Tournament of Laughs. It's hosted by Jason. It airs Sundays at 10 Eastern on TBS. And I started the interview. I asked him, does he get to choose the names of his characters in a movie, like Principal Brown in Booksmart or Kurt Buckman in Horrible Bosses?
Kurt Buckman, no. Although I did, I have a friend named Dave Buckman, so that I think maybe I just sort of like honored that. And then Principal Brown, his full name is Jordan Brown, who is a good friend of Olivia and I's. So like, there's always, you know, if they let you, yeah, I'll always try. I use a lot of old, you know, grade school friends and whatnot. That was a point of pride on my SNL days, was to, you know, never have my name referred to, but playing a doctor and playing like Dr. Tim Grasser, who was, you know, one of my best friends in high school. And it just appears on a door or on a nameplate. And, you know, it really lights my Facebook page up for, you know, a good 3 days.
But Fred in Hall Pass, did you?
Not yet. That was already there. That was, you know, I didn't have any, you know, any of the deep and wide Hollywood juice that I have now. That one, I was just along for the ride.
And I'm wondering how often you had guys come up and say, hey, I tried the hall pass thing. Like, do you get people in real life who say that they've tried to get the hall pass or did the hall pass or inspired by hall pass?
Literally the most that comes up, it will be like guys being like, hey, oh man, I love Hall Pass. I watched it in a hotel when I was, you know, away from home, you know, for a work trip. Like, it's implying that their wife or their partner would not let them watch it on the home television. Like, no, honey, we're not going to watch Hall Pass. Even though, you know, having watched the movie a couple times, like, you know, we honor the female side of the Hall Pass as well. But yeah, definitely, I've never heard anybody actually take it up on it. I've heard the term bandied around, like, hey, you know, like, you know, so-and-so is my Hall Pass. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's great. You know, just sort of like whoever that might be, you know, it could be.
But does this come up with your wife where,
yeah,
you know, she'll eventually say, do guys really think that way or talk about that stuff?
It's all make-believe to us. You know, that's the beauty of having someone who's also in the business. When you're an actor, it's such a weird, you know, thing. You have to pretend to fall in love with people and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so she knows it's all make-believe. It's all wish fulfillment.
The show is Tournament of Laughs, and it airs Sundays at 10 Eastern on TBS. How much of a stand-up comedian are you or did you want to be?
I never did it. I've done stand-up maybe twice, three times. The first couple times I auditioned for SNL was in a stand-up venue before they have you do the screen test, which happens on what we call home base. That's like where the host does the monologue. And then the one other time I did it was like a corporate gig hired by a business back home in Kansas City. And I did it where they were like, hey, you know, do 30 minutes. You're opening for the Little River Band. This is true. And and I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll tell like, you know, three or four stories like from my early SNL days and then maybe take questions and you know, kind of go the Carol Burnett show route and be like, oh, maybe I can, you know. And it was so scary. It's so scary. I prefer to have, you know, someone on, you know, in the foxhole with me of when a sketch is dying or, you know, an improvised scene is dying. And, you know, I'm a team sport guy. And so, like, stand up, you know, all respect to those guys and gals that do it on a daily, you know, nightly basis. But for me, it's too scary. I want someone in the ship with me when we're going down to look at each other and be like, uh-oh, here we go. This is not flying. Because that time I did it, I immediately called a buddy who worked for that company and texted him afterwards going, did I just eat dookie in front of everybody for a large, you know, chunk of change from a local, you know, local boy does good. And then clearly, well, not that good. it was intimidating to say the least. And just that sort of having no one else to blame it on besides, you know, just yourself and your apathy or your work ethic is too much for me to handle. No, can't do it.
But here you are hosting this and explain the premise of a Tournament of Laughs.
Well, basically, it's just, you know, it was, you know, pitched a while back by the producers as a way to
you know, make up for the March Madness tournament for you know, NCAA is being, you know, canceled this year. And, yeah, it's basically stand-ups. People who primarily, you know, from stand-up, with some, you know, the different folks too, like Michael Rappaport and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, you know, having fun, making home videos, and then, yeah, letting the audience at home, you know, decide who moves on. And then I'm basically, you know, doing your old gig, you know, like kind of like the host of SportsCenter. I, you know, just doing a little commentary before and afterwards and just kind of explaining when, you know, a number 8 seed has upset a number 2 seed or what have you. And yeah, it's, you know, today we film it based on tonight's or last night's, you know, results. So it's about as close to SNL turnaround that we used to have, which is fun because I'll do like, you know, a table read here in an hour or so. And then, well, you know, it's a pre-tape anyway, but yeah, the turnaround's pretty exciting too. Cause it's just like, you know, go. We gotta film this so they can edit it and then have it ready for next week. And just one thing after another.
He's Jason Sudeikis. The show is Tournament of Laughs. It airs Sundays at 10 Eastern on TBS. When you were in college at Fort Scott Community College, did we ever show any of your highlights on SportsCenter?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It may be on ESPN4. It might have been further down, like in between, you know, footage of a father and son playing catch out back, you know, like
What was the highlight?
I had many.
What was the highlight of your college basketball career?
That's a good question. Probably when we played against Reuben Patterson at Independence Community College and he had like 50 points on us and I would say 40 of them were dunks. Like that was the highlight.
He went to Cincinnati after that, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean to play basketball, yeah. I don't know how much you went to the class. I mean, you know, Bobby Huggins, you know, he coached with a different mentality than, you know, than maybe it was the 90s, you know, it was a different time.
And I was also wondering about Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. You did those promos for the Premier League with NBC, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, are we going to do a series on Ted Lasso? Is this like Jim Brockmeyer.
Right. No, that's which is one of my father's favorite shows. When he heard we were doing the show, and I told him the premise, he was like, "Hey, this sounds like Brockmeyer." Which, you know, if I can make my dad happy that way, then all for it. But yeah, that, I mean, yeah, just seven short years later, now it's going to be coming to an Apple Plus channel near you. But yeah, the trailer drops tomorrow, actually. And yeah, we filmed the first season. It comes out August 14th on Apple Plus, and it's the same premise as the first commercial. I'm a small time college football coach who gets hired to coach a professional, you know, Premier League team, a fictional one, AFC Richmond. But yeah, we're 10 episodes, and that all starts here in about a month.
Is the mustache real?
Oh yeah. Very much so. It wasn't in the second commercial. The second commercial, we I didn't have the time to grow it, but we had some of the geniuses behind the scenes at SNL help me do that. But yeah, this for the TV show, yeah, all real, and the accent's real too. If I've had enough Jack Daniels.
But do you know soccer, or is that part of the fun of this? That I think you're a football coach. Going, are you a real football coach? Like our football, then you go over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the whole premise. Yeah. I'm a football coach from Wichita State, which doesn't have a football team. So, and then, yeah, I had a viral video, kind of like, you know, that great video of Roy Williams, walking into the locker room after a Tar Heels victory and dancing and everything for his players. And that video catches the eye of the owner of a professional soccer team over there in the UK. And so they hire me, you know, just to sort of shake things up. Because they're at the point of possibly being, you know, relegated and all that. And so, yeah, but to answer your question, I learn more and more with every night that I, you know, play FIFA, you know, on the Xbox. I learn a little bit more about the beautiful game, but in all honesty, no, I don't know much. And a lot of those commercials, like the guy who plays my assistant coach, Brendan Hunt, who's also plays my assistant coach on the show and one of the co-writers, co-creators, that's how he describes, you know, football or soccer to me, is by using metaphor, whether it be from, you know, 90s NBA, 80s hip hop, Broadway musicals. Like, he can break it down for me if I am, you know, paralleling it to something I already know. And that's sort of part of the fun of, you know, at least for the drive for the comedy of the show. And then the rest is all just, you know, the high stakes.
Are you too old now? I think you're turning, what, 45. So are you too old to play video games at home? Will your wife allow you to play video games?
Oh, yeah. No, we got a little six-year-old boy who we played through, you know, Lego Star Wars. I mean, there's a deep, deep concern in our household about him becoming addicted to them. but we have a group of guys from the show that do play FIFA. Like, they have a thing called Pro Clubs, you know, that we play almost nightly, you know, like a golf course. Like, hey, you know, we have a text chain going, hey, you know, someone sends out the bat signal, then we hop on there for, you know, a game takes 17 minutes. We have that down because all of us have partners and, you know, other responsibilities. So you can only sit in a room with a control in your hand for so long. And
that sounds like a series in itself, Jason.
I mean, with this, you know, with this Twitch platform, anything's possible.
I know.
Quarantine and the internet, anything to show.
Paul, is Will Ferrell on the line?
Not this time.
Oh, he's not. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to take it personal if you don't.
Were you upset in the slightest when Will Ferrell interrupted your phone call?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, honestly, I feel like it's, you know, he's got to do it. There's demons there that, you know, I bet there's part of him that was upset that he did it. You know, I bet if we really got into it, I think there's part of him that, you know, probably felt, you know, like, I let people down. Like, it's too needy, too thirsty, as the kids say, you know. But no, it didn't bother me at all.
Oh, God, we laughed so hard. It was four years ago. But, you know, that it's those moments that remind you of how funny people are. Your line was so quick. Oh, yeah. And so sharp is like, you know, you could, why didn't you email? You could have emailed. And it was just so in the moment, and it was such a throwaway line, but I still remember it because you're right. And Will, of course, played it off. And I think he acted like you weren't on the phone, and that he just had to call in. I think we were planning a trip to Dublin, and he wanted to go to the Guinness Brewery. And it was just so random. And it's like, Dan, hey, I'm doing an interview with Jason. Okay. Hey, I really want to go to Dublin with you guys. And then that's when I think he said, couldn't you have emailed? You know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
You know, maybe he was in the car. Maybe he was doing the safe thing. Who knows? But yeah. No, I mean, Will, Tom Hanks, Oprah Winfrey, Beyonce. There's certain people that if they interrupt you, you don't mind. I mean, maybe if it becomes habitual. If it's like, you know, again, if he would have done it today, then that'd be something we'd have to have offline conversations about, the three of us, I think. You know.
Well, good luck with all the projects. Certainly with what's going on with Tournament of Laughs. It's great talk to you. Thanks again. We appreciate
likewise.
It.
Yeah. Talk to you in 4 years. Yeah,
all right. Absolutely. Thank you, Jason.
All right. See you guys. Bye now.
That's Jason Sudeikis, Tournament of Laughs, and it's Sundays at 10 Eastern on TBS. Joe Theismann is checked in. We'll get to Joe coming up. Talk about the Redskins situation. Maybe get his thoughts on Dak Prescott as well. 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Still haven't heard any other information than what I imparted to you when I started the show about some of these cryptic messages, tweets that were put out by NFL reporters that had to do with the Washington Redskins, that feels like there's a story that's coming out about toxic culture there behind the scenes. Nobody has confirmed anything. And I said, if we got any information, I tried to pass that on. And I don't know if it's just a coincidence that it coincides with the name change there with Washington, trademark issues there. You got some minority owners in the Redskins who may want to sell. So there's a whole lot going on. It's sort of at the epicenter of the NFL. Joe Theismann, former NFL quarterback for the Redskins, a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP joining us on the show. Good morning, Joe. Where do we stand with this franchise right now?
I think based upon what you reported, Dan, and talked about, you know, I don't really know. I have no more information than you have regarding what might be coming out. We know that at this point, obviously, there's going to be a name change after 87 years. There will no longer be the Washington Redskins, and there'll be some other Washington name attached and logo attached to the franchise. Interestingly enough, in 1972, the logo itself was designed by a Native American, modeled after basically the Buffalo Nickel. And see, before I ever really got into this conversation about the name, and this has been going on for decades, mm-hmm. this isn't all of a sudden come overnight, you know that. I wanted to talk to Native Americans and get their opinion on what they thought about the name, the Washington Redskins. And I'd say 85% of those that I talked to were very positive about it. They were proud of it. They were proud of the heritage. They were glad that the team represented the Native Americans of this country. And then there's a percentage that doesn't like it, and that exists today. But for whatever reason, and economically, I'm sure is part of it, there's going to be a change, and we move forward with it. But, you know, the other thing, too, is interesting, Dan, is what I thought about is what's going on in society today is July 3rd, the Redskins made an announcement and said, you know, we're going to address this issue. We're going to look at it. And then all of a sudden, 8 days later, a change is coming. I guess I ask myself this question. We've talked about activism in this country, and we've talked about things that should change, but yet they don't. If the Washington football organization can do something in 8 days, why can't other branches of life get something done in a hurry? What are we waiting for? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, but the Redskins waited a long time on this, Joe. I feel like...
I think if we hadn't been where we are socially, it may not have changed. You know, I mean, it's a change that basically has come. And those of us that played under the moniker of the Washington Redskins, Dan, I mean, we won championships there. There's a great legacy and history that we're a part of and very proud of. And I'm excited for this young group of kids. I mean, it's a very young football team. I'm excited for them to sort of establish their own numbers going forward. And this is one question I've yet to find an answer to. Maybe your guys and you can help. Will the records of the Washington Redskins, as of what they were, carry forward to the new Washington franchise? I mean, did the Houston Oilers records carry on to the Tennessee Titans? Or was it just a whole new beginning when it came to those players that are going to be a part of the franchise?
Well, it's just a name change. It's not a location change, because Houston changed and went to Tennessee. The Baltimore Colts went to Indianapolis. The Cleveland Browns
went to Ravens.
Yeah. So I think that there's a little bit of a separation there. But I'm going to guess if the Colts numbers are the same or under the same umbrella in Baltimore as they are in Indianapolis. How well do you know Daniel Snyder, and could you offer suggestions on how to make this franchise better?
Well, first of all, Dan has been a fan. I've known Dan for a number of years, and we're friends and good friends. The thing is in, you know, he's a fan. He was always a fan first. I mean, when he was a little kid, this was a dream of his to own the Washington Redskins. That dream came to fruition roughly 20 years ago. And it's been a struggle ever since trying to find the right combination. And there's other franchises that have gone through this same situation where you have a degree of success and then all of a sudden you try and look for that magic formula again. And for one reason or another, I can say the last 3 years, this team has been hit with the injury bug more than any team in the National Football League. We've had more guys on IR in the last 3 years than most teams have in 10. So the lack of players, and it's consistency, and it's a player's game. And if you don't have the players, particularly the quarterback position, I got hurt 35 years ago, and I believe they've had 37 different starting quarterbacks in that period of time, where you take a look at teams like the 49ers, teams like the Packers that have had consistency over a couple of decades with different people. And that's, I think, what we're searching for. And Dwayne Haskins is a very fine young quarterback that we hope will be a kid going forward that can, you know, be sort of the beginning of stability at that position on this football team. But it starts with that position.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, when's the last time you had a quarterback where you went, I feel pretty confident with the franchise in his hands?
It's been a long time. It really has. I mean, just to put in perspective, not to toot a horn, so to speak, but I'm second in Sammy Baugh to consecutive starts for the organization in the history of the organization at 99. And Sammy, I believe, was 113 or something like that. But when you have someone who played 35 years ago and is second in the franchise's history when it comes to consecutive starts, you know that there's been instability at that position. I believe Mark Rippon is third at like 78. So you have to have somebody line up and play year after year after year after year. And you need consistent coaching, which is another thing. We've had a lot of different coaches come through. I think Ron Rivera is the perfect choice for this football franchise. His staff has veterans. It has young people. But there's been just a lack of consistency in different positions, and it's been tough. And it's not that Dan's not trying. Listen, you know, everybody sort of jumps all over Dan.
But does he try too hard, Joe? Sometimes owners get too involved, and we know they made their money in a different, you know, industry. And you know, the blue bloods turn it over to their people and say, you coach, you be the GM, I'm going to stay out of the way. Is Dan Snyder too involved?
No, not. There was a time when he was involved more heavily than he is now. But what he's done is he's stepped back and he's trying to find the right combination. Like I said, I believe that this is the right combination going forward, finally, for him. I think there's so much change that's happening, so much almost confusion when it comes to what needs to be done. But I think he's got a clear vision and picture of what he wants now. He's involved as any owner. Hey, when you have franchises that are worth billions of dollars, you have every right to be involved. You're writing checks. You're writing big checks. So you want to know what's going on. But when it comes to the day-to-day operations, other people will have input into it. And just if you listen to the conversations and read some of the stuff regarding Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder in conversation about the name, Ron's very heavily involved.
Yeah.
This isn't just going to be Dan's going to say, I want this and it's going to happen. No, they're very heavily involved.
We're talking to Joe Theismann, former NFL MVP. He's got a new book and just published last month, How to Be a Champion Every Day and Timeless Keys to Success. You saw Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott is probably going to, you know, sign that franchise tag here. Would you invest in Dak Prescott long term if you were the Dallas Cowboys?
If I was the Dallas Cowboys, I would do exactly what Jerry Jones is doing. I would offer him the contract of 4 years. I believe the number is somewhere between $32 and $35 million per year with $100 million guaranteed. I would make that offer because there's changes. The league, we don't know what this football season is going to look like. We don't know if there's going to be any type of OTAs or much of a mini camp, to be honest with you. And then we don't know what the season's going to be like. Plus, he's under a new coach. He has a new system to learn. And the other thing is the Cowboys want a 5-year deal, from what I understand. Dak wants a 4.
Yeah.
The number's somewhere in the low 30 millions. I think that's a fair number. Dak rolls the dice at 31-4 and says, hey, look, I may take a chance and be franchised. They can franchise him again, I think, next year at 38. But they don't really know what they have at this point. And part of it is the economic stand in the game. You know, salary cap is based upon revenue. If the Washington franchise or all the franchises don't make the money they think, and it's estimated to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million less per franchise, you're talking $3-some-odd billion. And now what's the cap going to be next year? We've seen the cap continue to go up and up and up. But in this environment, there isn't any guarantee of anything.
But do you think
Dak has a chance. I think Dak really has a chance to do something special because, and I've always believed this, the quarterback is the single most dependent player on the field. I mean, you just have to depend on so many different things. Guys catching the ball, defenses stopping people, kicks being made, blocks being made. You're part of it really is just a part. And he's got some really good, tremendous pieces on the offensive side with him. And like I said, for him, if he should sign a 5-year contract because he's never going to see the fifth year anyway. You know, if he does what he expects to do and what the Cowboys want him to do, he may not even see year 4 before he gets another deal on top of it. So I don't know. I don't know what the hangup is. I know that the offer sounds, you know, like Jerry is being fair and equitable with him. And, you know, I wish him all the luck in the world going out there. And if you're going to roll the dice, you know, go make him pay.
we're starting to see, I guess it's a trend now, and maybe it was there, but it was in the embryonic stages, and that is the quarterback who can run, put pressure on you, but also be able to throw the deep ball. And Lamar Jackson, it feels like his blueprint is, I can put pressure on you on the edges, and if you bite on me running, I can throw the deep ball and try to get some home runs here. Is the future of the NFL the style of Patrick Mahomes or of Lamar Jackson or someone else?
I think somewhat of a combination. You know, Patrick isn't in that class when it comes to running like Lamar does. Or even Kyler Murray out in Arizona. There's another one who uses his legs a lot. Cam Newton found out that if you use your legs a lot and you can't throw the ball out of the pocket, it'll wear you down in a hurry and beat you up. I think that you still have to be able to operate out of the pocket, especially with the gun the way it is now and the spread offenses that we're running. You still have to be able to do that on a consistent basis, because at this level, you can't run around and take the pounding over year after year after year and expect to be able to play a long time. I think Lamar is a very unique individual, of course, an MVP of the league. Patrick Mahomes is another one who has the ability to escape. Jimmy Garoppolo is another one who has that ability to be able to move around. But I still believe foundationally, you have to be able to operate out of the pocket. Look at the guys that have won the championships, Peyton Manning, even Aaron Rodgers, Dan. You know, Aaron has the ability to move, but we don't see him do it a lot. Of course, Tom Brady has 6 championships. So when you start to put together the and look at the way the offenses are constructed, you have to be able to start and operate out of the pocket. And then, oh, by the way, if you need to, put pressure on people. I will say this about Lamar. Lamar, I thought, improved tremendously last year throwing the football down the field. Yeah. And the thing that his skills and Kyler Murray's in particular present is that a defense can't just put their ears back and come after him, because you can't give them escape lanes. You want to be able to keep him in the pocket, especially Kyler at his size. You want to make him throw from the forest. You want to make him throw through the trees because he's not going to be able to see a lot of things down the field. I know as a 6-foot guy myself that when I played, it's difficult. You're really not, you're throwing in between lanes. You're not throwing over people.
But also, you didn't get the credit, and maybe there weren't enough people after you. You know, Drew Brees gets a lot of credit because Drew Brees at his size, hey, you don't have to be 6'4". You were 6 foot. You were the league MVP, but it felt like you were an anomaly and people weren't going to go, oh, it like Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson, I think, got an opportunity because of Drew Brees. But, you know, you're a predecessor to Drew Brees as far as being successful and not being 6'4", like Dan Marino or John Elway.
There were other guys before me, like Bob Greasy was one. I think Roger Staubach wasn't the tallest of all, maybe a couple inches taller than I. But the game has evolved in so many different ways, from rules, from the wide open nature of it, from the different positions. We went through this with wide receivers. We want the tall guy so we can throw the ball in a general area and let him make a play. Then we wanted the quick one to be able to get down the field. Then we wanted the fast one. And football does that. It has its ebbs and flows. We want the big corner because we want to play cover two. Now we want the little corner because we're going to go man-to-man. And at the quarterback position now, I think we're leaning more and more towards the fact that we want somebody with mobility. But again, Drew Brees throws out of the pocket all the time. Drew's not going to run away from anybody. Eli never ran away from anybody in New York. But there aren't a lot of them coming out of college, Dan. That's the thing, is the college game is a little bit different than ours because, for example, you take guys that throw bubble screens all the time. Take a university that throws bubble screens, Ohio State, okay? You can have 35, 40, 50 touchdown passes and 15 of them are going to be because somebody made somebody miss and ran a lot of yards. So it's the concepts of the offenses that the kids are coming out of. It's the size of the kids. It's their athleticism. These are all things you have to take into consideration. Plus, again, I don't know what football is going to look like in 2021, more or less 20. But I do know that the rookies are going to be behind the eight ball here. You've got the young free agents. You've got new coaches that are trying to instill systems. All these things are done by, as you and I talk now, on Zoom.
Joe has a bookshelf behind him, and he's only got 4 books in the bookshelf, and they're all the same book that Joe just put out. It's Joe's book.
You mean this one?
Oh, there's, you got 5 books. There. Joe's got his book there, and How to Be a Champion, 6 Timeless Keys to Success, great tan, great hair. You got it all, Joe. You look like a success.
Yeah, the most important thing is you're looking good, Dan. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you as always, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks. Great to catch up with you. Take care of yourself. Everybody stay safe.
That's Joe Theismann. We'll be back. Close up shop here on the Dan Patrick Show after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Last call for phone calls. Close up shop. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Also this day in sports history. Most different starting quarterbacks since 1986. Number one on that list, your Cleveland Browns. 40 different starting quarterbacks since 1986. The Bears, 38 different starting quarterbacks.
They're about to add to that.
The Arizona Cardinals, 36. And then the Washington Redskins with 34 different starting quarterbacks. Seems to be a common thread in there. Those franchises haven't been that good. Arizona had its brief run with Kurt Warner. Yes, McLovin.
Did the Browns even go away for a few years? And is that, did they take 6 years off between 95 and?
I don't, how long were they gone from Cleveland? I forget.
Yeah, but.
How many years?
We know, who knows. Let's just wait for the email to come in.
Ethan, our information guy. He's not a stats guy. He's now our information guy.
We've emboldened him. Now every 3 minutes, there's a gem coming through.
Oh, he just sent me one. Here's Ethan, our research analyst.
Ugh.
Let's see.
Better be good. A lot of pressure.
Every precedent in U.S. sports is that a franchise changing its name or location keeps all the records. So Earl Campbell is still the career leader in rushing touchdowns for the Oilers Titans franchise. Nah, that's okay. Yeah, that's not that impressive. Yes, McLovin.
I thought when Joe Theismann said that, I'm like, you're obviously records are not going to change for this. I thought that I couldn't believe he brought that up.
Yeah, you're not changing locations. You're just changing names.
I think Joe was hopeful that it would change and that more of his records would be permanent with the Washington franchise.
Well, I think he only threw for 25,000 yards in his career. And I think he's still the career passing leader for the Washington Redskins with 25,000. I think that's why Joe asked, right? Ethan did respond to the Browns' hiatus. It was 3 years from 1996 to 1998. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you. Murphy in Georgia joins us. Hey, Murph, what do you have for me today?
How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I was wondering about concerning Dallas.
Okay.
They had a running back before Elliott that was real good. And Jones said, implied that anybody can run behind that line. Do you think it's the same thing at quarterbacking Dallas, that anybody can, a mediocre quarterback could win them considering everything they have?
Well, I think it helps a mediocre quarterback that you have those weapons there. Now, they had Marion Barber, but you might be talking about DeMarco Murray. Wasn't he in Dallas as well? And I do believe, this is why I wouldn't have paid Ezekiel Elliott, because you've already gotten the best years. I don't think he comes close to what he's done before. And now you're putting more on Dak Prescott's plate, more pressure on him, that it's now become a quarterback offense, not a running back offense. Do I think Andy Dalton could put up similar numbers with the Cowboys? I do. But I do think Dak has an extra dimension there. He has a higher ceiling at his age. We know what Andy Dalton is and, you know, who he's been. And he was a quality quarterback. Now, you can't deny the run that they had, and he played well. But we love potential. We love the unknown, and Dak Prescott still has the unknown. Deshaun Watson, the unknown. Kyler Murray, the unknown. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. It's when you know, it's like the Bears know what they have in Mitchell Trubisky. They probably have seen his best. There's no real mystery there, the mystique of the potential. You know, Jameis Winston still has that. Marcus Mariota doesn't have that. But Jameis Winston has a little bit of that. Baker Mayfield has a little bit of that. Daniel Jones has shown glimpses of the potential there, and that's what we fall in love with. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff's been holding since yesterday, I think. Jeff, welcome.
Yeah, you know what? Just a quick comment. I just find it funny that you guys, out of all days, bring this Ethan statistician guy out on Tony Romo, Dak Prescott Day. I'm just trying to figure out, is McLovin Tony Romo and Dak Prescott Ethan?
Wow, Jeff. Jeff.
Hey, listen, my advice to McLovin, don't call in sick, bro.
Whoa, how about Jeff cracking himself up? Maybe if McLovin takes some time off, be with the family, Ethan could stop in. Seems like he's a good team player, offering some stats.
Kind of a me guy, though.
Oh, you think
Ethan? Yeah, he's all about himself.
Yeah, clearly. It's real fun standing around the water cooler hearing about the stats from the AFL. Yeah, that won't get old.
Boom. You know what gets old? What gets old is when I ask for some information and I don't get any information from you.
We like to keep you guessing.
We're building suspense.
Yeah. Anybody can get you information.
We provide you all the information we think you need.
Yeah.
Or slightly inaccurate information.
Yeah. And you do a great job. In that, department, you're irreplaceable. When it comes to giving misinformation or no information at all, you're irreplaceable.
Like the anniversary of Adam Sandler's first episode.
Deflect. I don't know why we have to do that.
Toddler, deflect. Deflect.
Not cool.
By the way, Todd is going to spring for pizza.
How about that? That's crazy, Todd.
I know. I think we're going to do the pizza challenge that I did over my vacation.
I don't know how I'm going to peel the card out of the wallet. It's got all kinds of cobwebs. It hasn't been
out. Well, it's still got that sticker on that you have to take off.
Oh, that's right. You have to like call a number.
To call in, yeah.
To enable it. Yeah.
What did you learn today, Todd?
Stats guy Ethan making the Danettes, especially my friend here, McLovin, in the back row, look bad.
McLovin, what did you learn?
Nobody likes a know-it-all. Nobody likes a know-it-all.
Seton O'Connor.
Ethan's also seen a great white shark.
Oh, no.
Paulie, what'd you learn?
Joe Theismann has 5 books in his office. They're all his.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. You can start online. Network of independent attorneys provide advice that you need. LegalZoom is not a law firm. That means you don't have to leave your home, and they don't charge you by the hour. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, all-around support. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on The Dan Patrick Show.